Thank you, Jasmine. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining UBM's Q3 conference call. Let me start by recapitulating the highlights of the third quarter, which you can find on slide three of the presentation. I'm particularly proud that our sales team succeeded in selling Kittila Logistics Park in Bucharest. Some of you might remember my early days with UBM. I have always taken this asset as the perfect example for a leftover, if you want, with no strategic value whatsoever. Logistics does not belong to the three asset classes we focus on, and Romania definitely is not one of our three core countries. The other highlight I would like to pick from the slide is the rebranding of our Munich Westpark Hotel. It is the first example where we also took over as a franchise of Holiday Inn. This takes our hotel operating model to the next level, I believe. We believe the ability to offer a franchise model might be a critical competitive advantage for a hotel developer in the future. Finally, I would like to remind you of the forward sale of the Leuchtenberg Ring project for a record price of 190 million euros. While this project was ultimately sold to German Realis, there can be no doubt that the price was driven by overseas investors and their increasing appetite for investments in continental Europe. Let me continue with slide four. To put Q3 in a nutshell, everything is on track to deliver our full year 2017 guidance. We have increased our net profit by more than 24% in Q3. We have reduced the net debt to 556 million euros by end of September. We have smoothened the repayment profile in 2019. We have shortened the balance sheet and thereby increased our equity ratio to above 29%. We keep delivering on our accelerated sales and efficiency program, and there is no end to the real estate boom in sight anytime soon. We expect to even over-deliver on our original net debt target and have therefore lowered it to 520 million euros at year-end. Finally, we confirm our net profit target of 33 million euros for year-end and have increased our secured pipeline to 1.8 billion euros. Let me go a little bit more into the details by turning to slide five. I believe net profit has grown in line with your expectations, and you agree that we are all on track to deliver our full-year guidance. Earnings per share increased by more than 24% to 2.81 euros after nine months, and the expectation is to deliver 4.42 euros by year-end. At the 40 euro share price, this means we are trading with a 9.0, an exactly nine times PE multiple. Still well below our peers, despite the good share price performance this year. As can be seen on slide six, we have almost hit the year-end net debt target at the end of September already. This is why we reduced the net debt target to 520 million euros. In the light of the 100 million cash from the sale of Hyatt in October and a down payment for the Leuchtenberg Ring in Q4, you might think that even the new guidance is rather conservative. This is not entirely fair. Please bear in mind that we need to fill our pipeline with new projects, and I'm confident that we are able to report some successes before year-end. These spendings have to be added to the expected increase of investments in ongoing projects in Q4. Still, a further reduction to 520 million euros ain't bad, I would say, particularly if you remember a year ago. May I now hand over to Patric, who's going to dig a bit deeper into the debt and the balance sheet details.
Thank you, Thomas. Good morning to all of you also from my side. I'm now on slide seven. One of the remaining homeworks to be done when I last talked to you at the end of August has been the debt maturity profile with a peak of 317 million euros in 2019. Today, I'm in a position to report about a much smoother profile. We have issued a bond at the beginning of October and offered holders of the 2014 to 2019 bond an attractive exchange opportunity. Just as a reminder, the 2014 to 2019 bond had a nominal value of 200 million euros and two-thirds was with retail investors. So the expectation was that a maximum of 30% or 60 million euros would be exchanged for a new bond. This would have been also in line with the average exchange rate of similar corporate bonds in Austria. After road showing in Austria, Germany and Luxembourg, as well as a great effort by our lead manager with the retail investors of our old bond, I'm proud to present you with an exchange rate of 42% or 84 out of 200 million euros. This reduces the 2019 repayment mountain to a 233 million hill. And even the 233 million euros appear somewhat overstated, as the 120 million euros of project financings are refinanced to quite some extent by forward sales, where the sales proceeds of firmly signed buyers are going to redeem the bank loans. Of course, this is even more true for the project financings maturing this year and in 2018. The demand for the new bond has been very strong. With 84 million euros going to existing bondholders, we decided to increase the volume to 150 million euros. You can see this 150 million euros together with 9 million euros from project financing in the 2022 column on the slide. One last word regarding the bond offering. The coupon of 3.25% reflects the considerably lower risk assessment by the market and the appreciation of our efforts to make the balance sheet more conservative. This could also be seen in the order book with high quality, high granularity demand. May I ask you now to turn to slide 8, the balance sheet ratios. Please note that all balance sheet numbers are per end of September and do not include the effect of the described bond offer from October. Three major improvements. First of all, we have shortened the balance sheet. Secondly, we thereby increased the equity ratio to over 29%. And thirdly, the loan-to-value ratio is down at below 48%. And we still have a very strong cash position of 114 million euros, even before the new bond, which adds net cash of 66 million euros on top. The 66 million euros are the result of a total amount of 150 million euros minus the 84 million euros which were exchanged and thereby do not increase the cash. This does not only give a good night's sleep to our treasurer. Back to Thomas.
Thanks, Patrick. May I turn your attention from the financials to slide 9 and the operational progress we have been making. As you know, 2017 is driven by two key initiatives, Fast Track 2017 and Next Level. FT17 has generated 380 million euros of cash sales proceeds in the first 9 months, with additional secured and recently announced cash sales of 100 million. This is the higher than the Leuchtenberg ring. Our accelerated sales program stands at 480 million euros at the moment. And the year-end transactions are still to come. I started the beginning of this year with a very aspirational claim for UBM. One goal, one team, one company. Both FT17 and Next Level pay into all three. The goal for FT17 is to achieve up to 600 million of cash sales proceeds this year and annual improvements of 12 million by 2019 through our efficiency program. With 2 million euros of quick wins and savings this year, we are also on a good way with the Next Level program. I believe you need to have a clear goal and make everybody pull and look the same direction. Of course, this also helps to be more of one team, as much as it helps to have deal captains from central and country organizations or the creation of our executive committee, including the new functional three-member management board team. Finally, we will be one company, I promise. And I also promise to keep you posted on our progress into this direction. Before presenting you with the company outlook, let me remind you of the industry's perspective by turning to slide 10. This is my favorite slide from a recent CBRE document, by the way. It shows the long-term development of prime office yields and 10-year government bonds in comparison. Please note that the right-hand part of the graph is a forecast. Still, it is fair to draw three conclusions from the graph. One, there is no alternative to real estate investment and increasing your exposure if you depend on regular income sources. Two, the gap is more than 3 percentage points at the moment, and record prices for prime office space do not suggest a turnaround in the yield compression. And three, it will take years for the gap to narrow, no matter from where the pressure is eventually coming. This, of course, does not mean that you should invest in every new project. On the contrary, in this context, I would only like to mention that until a week ago, we have not acquired one project in Munich since I joined 1.5 years ago. As can be seen on the pipeline chart, slide 21 in the backup, we have recently acquired Unter Bieberger Straße. It's the last item on the backup chart, with the hope to get a change in the permission to build desperately needed apartments in Munich. While we are working on this permission, the project is generating more than sufficient cash flow from current tenants to cover the financing costs. Let me now come to the end of our formal presentation by turning to slide 11, the outlook. Well, our outlook is fairly straightforward. We confirm our net profit target of 33 million euros. We lower the net debt target for year end to 520 million euros. We work on our pipeline and have secured projects which will now generate a total output of 1.8 billion euros until year end 2020. And don't forget to add the other elements of the total output. The sales program, particularly regarding standing assets or non-strategic land bank, will continue beyond 2017. And finally, we shall rigorously execute on our strategy of becoming a focused pure-play developer with a reduced risk profile. Before I open the call to your questions, I would also like to comment on the departure of Milena, who is sitting with Patrick and me on this call, as she always did in the last 1.5 years. I believe it is one of the most difficult tasks of a CEO to offer unbiased advice and objectively evaluate opportunities. Unfortunately, this is also true for career advice to your own people. UBM does not have the size or scope offered to Milene in her new assignment. It is only fair to appreciate this. And ultimately, I see it as no disadvantage if the supervisory board chairman's future capital market expert has a really good and deep understanding of UBM. Milena and I are working to fill the gap as quickly as possible, and she promised not to forget any of us. This means not Patrick and me, but it also means none of the analysts on this call or none of the investors on this call. I take the opportunity of this call to thank Milena for the great support she has provided to put the capital market top of the agenda in UBM. And this is the position in which the capital market is going to stay, I promise. May I now open the call for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star, followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star, followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Christine Reitzamer of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Christine speaking. I have two questions. One concerns the disposal of standing assets. You disposed, I think, 130 million over the first three quarters. I put in my notes around the 200 million is the goal for the full year. Is that still correct? And then if you just look at these sales, I mean, you said you sold this really non-core assets in Romania. Just when you look across what you sold, are there, you know, any regions, any asset classes that seem to be more difficult than expected or easier than expected, just to also to give us a feeling of what we can, you know, what time frame we can expect for the remainder, what you want to sell or how difficult or easy it will be for you? That's the first question. And the second question, you changed a bit the chart of the hotel, and you mentioned it in a slide at one of the first slides that you are now a franchise taker of one hotel. Could you just go a bit into the hotel operations and management, franchise and leaseholder, and the different risk and reward profiles of actually these and operations and where do you see the company going over the next 2 to 3 years? That seems to be important.
Excellent. Okay. Coming to the first question. Look, you're absolutely right. We've sold 130 million of standing assets in the first 9 months. And probably the best way of answering this question is referring you to the assets held for sale. I think they're in note 7 of the Q3 report. I only remember that total amount, which is 135 million euros. So we expect within the foreseeable future to sell 135 million euros, and we also give you the details of the assets included in this note. It is 4 Polish assets and 1 unbuilt property in Austria. It doesn't say what is a standing and what is a asset under development, so I give you the detail. Out of the 4 Polish assets, we have 2 which are standing assets and 2 which are about to be completed. And so that gives you a very good hint where it's coming from, and that the 200 million, which was the original goal, is definitely not out of reach. The other reference I would like to give you is in my introduction. If you remember, I mentioned the Kitteler Logistics Park because it took us now 15 months since I first talked about the sale of Kitteler Logistics Park to actually get it sold. But it's been sold, and it's been sold satisfactorily, and we are happy that we have it out of our books. So the key for the success of Fast Track 17, and I would say all sales efforts going forward, is that we don't put ourselves under pressure, and there is no such thing like a best region or easiest to sell. It is always the question to have a meeting of the mind, if you want, between the buyer and the seller, and then not encounter any obstacle in the sales process. So that would be the question to your first answer. The second answer, and I've opened slide 14, you're absolutely right. And we did something very dangerous, because what we've done on slide 14 is we tried to make it clearer. Obviously, okay, that might even add to a confusion, because in the past, okay, we stopped at leaseholder and never mentioned explicitly that, of course, the next step in the value chain is the International Hotel Management Group that works on the project. And we even give a reference in the footnote. Remember, most important information is always in the footnote. And the next page has not been altered at all, and these are the international hotel groups that are managing our hotels and always have been managing our hotels. What is new is we now are also a franchisee And we are a franchisee of one of the big hotel groups that also have managed our hotels, which is IHG, Intercontinental Group. And we've done that, as I said, with Munich Westpark. And there are really a few reasons we've done it for. We believe that Holiday Inn, contrary to Angelo, is a more attractive brand, and the occupancy rate is even going higher than what we've seen. So that's the number one point. The other one is we also hope to get more influence on the day-to-day operations, and we are able to provide this influence. This is why we've hired Rolf Hübner, one of the executive team members, the former head, by the way, of IHG Group in CEE. We believe now that we are a franchisee, we can also come up with the hotel director and thereby get an even closer grip on the hotel operations. And as I've mentioned in the formal presentation, we also believe that is giving us a competitive advantage to many hotel developers, because if particularly in the 3- and 4-star category, in the future hotels want a franchise system to be established, and this is what it looks at least for part of the hotel groups that we know, we can offer it out of one hand, and we don't have to find a third party for a franchisee. I hope this answered your questions.
Yes, just one follow-up. So in the franchise model, you just you have the hotel operator works for you, and the rest of the workforce is not on your.
Well, Christine, if you look at our employee number, you see that the employee number is by a majority, more than 400 people made up by the hotel employees already. So they have always been on our balance sheet, if you want. Okay. What really is the major difference is we are closer to the operating business because we come up with the general manager.
Okay. You know? Mm-hmm.
We come up with a general manager, and we can change the general manager if he hires the wrong people, which he's hired in the past already, coming from an international management group and giving it to us on the balance sheet. So, you know, it is one step further in the value chain, and it is what some of our clients require, clients in the sense of hotel managers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Schaaf of SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning from Frankfurt. This is Stefan Schaaf. My first question is about the net debt reduction. In terms of net debt reduction, in the beginning of 2017, you expected total sales proceeds of about 600 million and also investments of about 400 million. Are these estimates still valid? My second question is about one project in Poland, the Kotlaska Krakow project, which is to be completed soon in the fourth quarter, and the current status is, if I'm right, a letter of intent. Can you give us a little bit more details here on the outlook regarding the sale of this project? And my third question is a more general one. You will get a 75 million down payment for the Leuchtenbergring project in the fourth quarter, and there's also a forward funding issue at the micro living project in Vienna, Quartier Belvedere Central, 27 million. So is this a trend that you can get some forward funding for your forward sales to bring down your debt and to release your balance sheet? I imagine this is a good way.
Yeah. Excellent question. Stefan, let me answer the Kotlaska question and give the other two questions to Patrick, as they are more of a financial nature and he burns to answer some of the questions. Kotlaska is one of the five assets that are held for sale, okay? And we are currently in the negotiating process to finalize the contract, and I'm very confident that within the next 3 months, okay, we are able to close the deal. It is always difficult to say with the Christmas break in between, okay, if it's then still accounting for 2017 or for 2018. But you can expect this to happen either in Q4 or in Q1 of next year. For us, it does not make the big difference, and we have it as a kind of, you know, eventuality in our considerations for year end. Patrick.
Okay. Stefan, thank you for your question. To your first question on the debt reduction, I may for a second draw your attention on the page 33 of the presentation, where you can see in terms of sales proceeds, we are at a little bit more than 380 million, and in terms of investments, we are at 215. Especially on the investment side, I may remind us all that at the beginning of the year, we thought that Zalando would be accounted differently, and in the process of the forward sale, we deconsolidated Zalando. So Zalando is out of this 215 million investment number. And if we now look at the fourth quarter and have a run rate in mind, which can be suggested from the 215 and include Zalando, we are more or less still in the range of the 400 million. So if we take this into account, your estimates are still correct.
Okay.
On your last question regarding the down payments and the forward fundings and the cash proceeds we are getting from this, this is a trend we are seeing. And as a finance guy, I'm glad that we see that trend because it helps me to better plan our liquidity and our cash position. In terms of reducing our balance sheet, that depends on can I redeem debt in the project or can't I redeem debt in the project. So in terms of the down payment, we have already done this. So I will do my job in terms of shorten the balance sheet, but we get the cash in without having the ability to redeem the debt for the 75 million. For the QBC, it's a different story.
Okay, so now your equity ratio came very near to 30%, and the LTV is now clearly below 50%. This should also help you to talk with the banks for better financing conditions. Could you agree?
Yes, of course. Of course it helps, especially when you have the liquidity position we have, because it gives us more time for the negotiations.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand over to Mr. Winkler.
Thanks, Jasmine. Thank you for the attention. Thank you for the time spent with us, and particularly thank you for the patience. As I said, we reap in the fruits from the work of the last 1.5 years, and it seems as if we've had a golden autumn, if you want. In this respect, all the best and goodbye for now.